Hi everyone, welcome back to the MetaBullet Step 2 and 3 podcast. In today's episode, we covered the topic of hemorrhoids, found under the gastrointestinal section at MetaBullets.com. Let's begin with a clinical snapshot. A 59-year-old man comes to the clinic for complaints of blood in his stool for the past month. He also reports a ping-pong-sized mass at the anus. When asked to describe the stool, he claims that there are streaks of bright red blood on top of the stool that is not mixed in. He denies pain, melena, history of colon cancer, or weight loss. His last colonoscopy was done 8 years ago and was unremarkable. Let's continue with an introduction to hemorrhoids. Clinically, this is defined as a condition where the vascular structures in the anal canal become swollen or inflamed. It is the site where channels of arteriovenous connective tissues drain into the superior and inferior hemorrhoidal veins. There are three types of hemorrhoids. External hemorrhoids are distal to the dentate line. Internal hemorrhoids are proximal to the dentate line. Mixed hemorrhoids are located both proximal and distal to the dentate line. In terms of the classification of internal hemorrhoids, this is based on the degree of prolapse. Grade 1 is visualized via endoscopy. These do not prolapse below the dentate line. Grade 2 prolapse out of the anal canal without defecation or straining, but reduce spontaneously. Grade 3 prolapse out of the anal canal with defecation or straining and require manual reduction. Grade 4 are irreducible and may strangulate. In terms of the epidemiology, the prevalence peaks between ages 45 to 65 years. There is an equal distribution between the sexes. Risk factors include age, diarrhea, pregnancy, pelvic tumors, prolonged sitting, straining, and chronic constipation. In terms of the pathogenesis, it is not well understood, but it may be due to a variety of factors. Hemorrhoidal veins are normal anatomic structures within the submucosal layer in the lower rectum. They arise from the hemorrhoidal cushion of dilated arteriovenous channels and connective tissue. Internal hemorrhoids arise from the superior hemorrhoidal cushion and are viscerally innervated and not sensitive to pain, touch, or temperature. External hemorrhoids arise from the inferior hemorrhoidal plexus and are somatically innervated and are extremely painful. So hemorrhoid symptoms can result when these structures slide downwards, venous pressure is excessively increased, or if there is hypertrophy or increased tone of the anal sphincters. Moving on to the presentation, some patients may be asymptomatic. Symptoms may include hematochezia, pain which is associated with external hemorrhoids, perianal pruritus, and fecal soilage. On exam, one may note the presence of hemorrhoids, which is more likely seen with external hemorrhoids. There may be bluish elevation of the skin, which is seen in thrombosed external hemorrhoids, and there may be possible skin tags. In terms of further imaging, endoscopy is indicated in patients where hemorrhoids were not detected on physical exam and DRE. It allows for visualization and evaluation of the anal canal and distal rectum. And prolapsed internal hemorrhoids appear as dark pink, glistening, and sometimes are tender masses at the anal margin. Colonoscopy or flexible sigmoidoscopy is indicated in patients over 40 years of age with risk factors for colorectal cancer. In terms of further studies, the diagnosis is primarily based on presentation and a physical exam. The physical exam should include inspection of the anal verge and perianal area for external hemorrhoids, prolapsed internal hemorrhoids, or other possible causes of anal symptoms. A digital rectal exam is performed for palpation of masses, tenderness, and characterization of the anal sphincter tone. In terms of the differential, make sure to think about anal fissures, which are usually discernible via visualization of the fissure. Also think about colorectal pathology. This is usually painless and will be visualized in colonoscopy. In terms of treatment, first-line options include dietary and lifestyle modification. This includes a high-fiber diet and hydration. This will also include regular physical exercise, avoiding straining or lingering on the toilet, and limiting fatty foods and alcohol. Another option includes medications for symptomatic relief. This includes stool softeners, topical analgesics and steroids, and sitz baths for acute flare-ups. Second-line options are for patients who have symptomatic internal hemorrhoids refractory to conservative treatments who are referred for office-based procedures. This includes rubber band ligation, sclerotherapy, infrared coagulation, and excision. This is indicated in cases of acutely thrombosed external hemorrhoids. Third-line options include hemorrhoidectomy. This is indicated for patients who fail medical management and cannot tolerate an office-based procedure. This is often not indicated for external hemorrhoids. And lastly, complications related to hemorrhoids include exsanguination, which may not have signs of external bleeding, pelvic infection, incontinence, thrombosis, strangulation, ulceration, infection, and anal fissures. Now that we've discussed the major points relating to hemorrhoids, let's walk through a question to apply what we've learned and get a sense of how the topic might be tested. For this question, consider the following clinical scenario. On a routine checkup, a 37-year-old man tells his primary care physician that he has recently noticed bright red blood on the toilet paper when he wipes. He denies any fatigue, decreased exercise tolerance, abdominal pain, or maroon-colored or black tarry stools. He has no family history of colon cancer. He has never had a colonoscopy. On physical exam, his temperature is 37 degrees Celsius, heart rate is 70, and blood pressure is 120 over 75. He does not have conjunctival pallor. There are no abnormalities on cardiac, pulmonary, or abdominal exams. Rectal exam is negative for bright red blood or occult blood. What is the best next step in the workup of this patient? And the answer choices are: choice 1, order a complete blood count. Choice 2, colonoscopy. Choice 3, reassurance. Choice 4, anoscopy. Or choice 5, genetic testing. The best answer to this question is choice 4, anoscopy. Patients presenting with bright red blood on toilet paper and no risk factors for colon cancer should be evaluated for hemorrhoids using anoscopy. Hemorrhoids are vascular structures in the anal canal. Normally, they help with stool control, but may become swollen or inflamed. Internal hemorrhoids arise above the dentate line and usually present with painless rectal bleeding. External hemorrhoids are below the dentate line and may cause anal pain and swelling if thrombosed. Constipation is believed to be a risk factor for hemorrhoids due to increased intra-abdominal pressure. Let's also discuss why the other choices are incorrect. Choice 1. This patient displays no signs or symptoms of anemia. Therefore, a CBC is not warranted. Choice 2. This patient has no red flags for malignancy and does not require a colonoscopy. Choice 3. Patients with possible gastrointestinal bleeding should have the source identified and be offered treatment if needed. Choice 5. There is no evidence to suggest familial adenomatous polyposis or hereditary non-polyposis colon cancer syndromes in this patient. That's all for this review about hemorrhoids. We hope that was helpful. This is the MedBullets Step 2 and 3 podcast, a daily audio review session for MedBullets, the free learning and collaboration community for medical student education. As a reminder, you can follow along with these podcast episodes by reviewing the topics directly on MedBullets.com. You can listen to these episodes on the MedBullets website or phone app while reading through the topic. If the MedBullets podcast has been valuable to you, we'd be thrilled if you considered leaving us a 5-star rating and writing us a review on Apple Podcasts. It will help us spread the word and increase our discoverability tremendously. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you all tomorrow, right here, on the MedBullets Step 2 and 3 podcast.